keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On the campaign trail, Vice President Kamala Harris delivering remarks at an event in Atlanta, focusing on abortion access and reproductive freedoms in the wake of the Supreme Court decision that upended Roe v. Wade.
The fundamental freedom of a woman to be able to make decisions about her own body and not have her government telling her what to do.
Harris says women are suffering through non-viable pregnancies due to the abortion restrictions in states like Georgia. Three states started early in-person voting today. Voters lining up in Minnesota, Virginia, and South Dakota to cast ballots. Israel's military carried out targeted airstrikes in southern Beirut today, saying it killed a key Hezbollah leader. It follows this week's series of explosions of those handheld devices that killed nearly 40 and injured thousands of others. The U.S. and other countries are calling for a de-escalation in the region. This is ABC News. Dozens are dead, and a major Mexican city has been paralyzed by warring factions of the Sinaloa drug cartel in their home state. An explosion of cartel infighting has closed schools, businesses, and even forced officials to cancel Mexican Independence Day celebrations. Mexicans' government officials are leaving local leaders to resolve the violence.
The López Obrador administration, they have a policy basically to back off from organized crime, to not have large-scale confrontations. They actually had the top military commander in Sinaloa just a few days ago said that it, quote, does not depend on the military, but rather it depends on the narcos themselves to stop this violence. The government basically abdicating any responsibility to keep its citizenry safe.
ABC's Matt Rivers reporting from Mexico City. Be prepared to pay more for your morning coffee. Coffee farmers in Brazil grappling with an above average temperatures as the country faces its worst drought in more than 70 years. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice sounding so legendary? Honey, and how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The latest AARP Wisconsin poll finds older voters are the most motivated to vote this November. Pollster Jeff List.
From 75% of voters 18 to 34 who were extremely motivated to 91% of voters 65 plus who were extremely motivated to vote. And not only is the motivation higher, among those older age groups. Those older age groups are bigger.
Former President Donald Trump leads by 10 points with 50 to 64-year-olds, while Vice President Kamala Harris is ahead by 6 points with voters 65 and older. There's a similar breakdown in the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Tammy Baldwin and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Wisconsin Teamsters endorse Vice President Harris.
The 1.3 million member International Brotherhood of Teamsters declined to endorse either Harris or Donald Trump. But Teamsters Joint Council 39 in Wisconsin is backing Harris.
We have the ability to make our own endorsements.
Council President Bill Carroll says some of the 15,000 Teamsters in Wisconsin do support Trump, but the Harris endorsement has a lot to do with the union's experience in Wisconsin. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Whooping cough cases are up significantly across Wisconsin.
Department of Health Services data shows numbers similar to pre-pandemic levels. As of September 13th, DHS had reports of 625 confirmed cases of whooping cough compared to just 51 in 2023. Since the start of the year, two-thirds of Wisconsin counties have reported at least one case. People can get whooping cough at any age, but those ages 11 to 18 make up nearly half of reported cases so far this year. DHS urges making sure you and your kids are up to date on the whooping cough vaccine and to take other steps to stay healthy. A list of vaccine requirements and guidelines can be found on the DHS website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Sunshine throughout the day. Today in our Real Country 1430 forecast, we'll have highs low 80s, west winds at around 10. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows upper 50s. Tomorrow, 40% chance of a shower or storm in the afternoon, highs mid 80s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football tonight. So the Panthers are at Elk Mound. The Advent Health Panther previews at 6:45, kickoff at 7 o'clock on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
Along with us here on the program as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's show brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch, and bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to talk with Cam Quarles from the National Potato Council. Coming up here in segment two. In segment three, we'll look at the markets with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at Stone X. And we'll take a look at the recent ag economy report from FAPRI at the University of Missouri. Coming up here in segment four with Dr. Pat Westhoff. So a lot to get to here on today's program. And we're kicking it off as we close out National Farm Safety and Health Week. Thought it was pertinent to invite our friends with Rural Minds back to the show. And joining us now for a conversation, he's the executive director of Rural Minds. Chuck Strand is with us here today. Chuck, thanks for being with us on AOA. Hope you're doing well, sir.
Good morning, Jesse. Thanks for the opportunity. It's good to be here.
Well, just for starters, for folks who may not be aware of Rural Minds and the overall work that you guys do when it comes to mental health and more across rural America and on the farm and ranch, can you give us a little bit of a background of some of the overall work that you guys do at Rural Minds?
Yep. Well, Rural Minds is the only national 501c3 nonprofit that is focused on providing the 46 million people who live in rural America with free information and resources to confront the mental health challenges that are unique to rural communities, along with the greater stigma that exists in rural America. So we have a comprehensive website that's got a lot of great information, a lot of free resources. But what we really want to do is understand what the unmet or underserved needs are, and recognizing that there are some unique challenges to mental health in rural communities. I grew up in a small rural area in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and it's very common in rural communities. There's just a lack of access to healthcare professionals, especially mental health care professionals. You got to travel further distance to get treatment. A lot of folks don't have reliable or even existing internet service in rural communities. And there's this mindset in rural America, and often it's just out of necessity. People have to, learn to do things themselves. So a lot of folks are very independent, and so it can be a challenge when it comes to looking for potential help with a mental health challenge. It's when people are used to doing things themselves with a mental illness or depression or anxiety. A lot of times, you need to reach out for help, and it's important to, because mental health is part of overall health.
Absolutely. I know you guys have a great webinar coming up on Wednesday, the 25th here, just a few days away. Talk about that webinar, just one of the many great things that I know you guys offer there at Rural Minds. Registration's free for that, I know. Give us a little background on this upcoming webinar, Chuck.
Yeah, well, we do webinars periodically, and again, they're focused on, what are the interests and the needs of folks in rural communities. And the webinar on the 25th, the topic is improving access to medicine for people living with mental illness. And if you go to the Rural Minds website, which is ruralminds.org, RuralMinds.org, there's a link on the main page for the free registration. There's also a lot of other webinars that we have that are all archived and a wide range of topics. And in addition to this week being Farm Safety and Health Week, and knowing that mental health is part of overall health, the month of September is also Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. So there's some resources on the website that include suicide awareness and prevention, some of the challenges specific to rural communities. Also, this week, the Cornell College of Veterinary Medicine and New York FarmNet, in partnership with Rural Minds, launched a free online course, which is mental health and suicide prevention in rural America. And access to that, it's geared for veterinarians who have a greater risk of suicide, similar to farmers and ranchers. Those professions are particularly at risk. But if you go to that Cornell College of Veterinary Medicine website, there's a link there to the free eCornell course that's available to anybody. So a lot of great resources on the Rural Minds website. And just wanted to mention, in addition to the webinar coming up on the 25th, we please register. But also encourage you to check out the Cornell College of Veterinary Medicine course that just came out this week.
And we do have a link to that Cornell course you mentioned on our website, too, agricultureofamerica.com. We're talking with Chuck Strand, the executive director of Rural Minds. And Chuck, to your points as well, I think about the overall need for mental health awareness in agriculture, not just as we celebrate Farm Safety and Health Week, and you mentioned Suicide Prevention Month and more, but year round, I think about some folks are a little bit stressed out with the ag economy right now, for instance, and things like that can really add to some of the weight on folks' shoulders in rural America. So that overall need for mental health awareness and speaking out and speaking up if you do need help, it's just an important reminder, isn't it, Chuck?
It really is. And another great resource is the 3-digit code 988, and that is for mental health crisis. It's similar to 911. I think everyone's pretty familiar with that, but this 988 is a fairly new number. It came out, I think, 2 years ago, as of July. And even though it is a resource for mental health crisis, potential suicidality, it's also a great resource to call and ask a question about just mental health in general. And it's available 24/7. It's staffed by trained therapists and counselors. So it's a great resource, and it doesn't have to be a crisis situation. You can call anytime to ask a question about you, about someone you might be concerned about who might be struggling with the mental health challenge or suicidality. And it's a great resource. So again, that number is 988.
Chuck, final thoughts. We got about a minute. Anything else you would add for us here about what you guys are doing at Rural Minds or anything as we celebrate Farm Safety and Health Week?
Yeah, I would really encourage people when they go onto the Rural Minds website, also check out the Rural Mental Health Resilience Program. Back to the original point about folks being independent and self-reliant, this program is kind of designed to meet folks where they're at. So take as much information as you want. It can be, you know, check it out confidentially if you want to even go so far as then being the voice of rural America in your community. There's also resources for hosting a TED Talk type of conversation. There are PowerPoint slides to talk about the state of mental health in rural America, along with the resources available on the Rural Minds website. And also other things that are similar to, you know, this conversation about talking about mental health, because the greater stigma is really based on people not talking about it. So there's a piece on the program that has tips on how to start difficult conversations. It can be really awkward to talk about mental health and suicidality. So it's important to have those conversations.
RuralMinds.org for more. With that, Chuck Strand, Executive Director of Rural Minds, thanks for being with us here on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it also.
All right. Coming up next here, we're going to talk with Cam Corals from the National Potato Council on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Back with more right after this.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream, I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. Bargain tractor hydraulic fluids. They aren't worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance that you can rely on. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, let's turn our attention to the potato industry. A few different topics that we are watching there. Joining us now, CEO of the National Potato Council, Cam Quarles, is with us here today on AOA. Cam, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, sir?
Jesse, doing great. Always great to talk with you.
I know you've been busy, a lot of travel lately, including you were out in Idaho Falls this past week for a bilateral meeting between the U.S. and Japan. So let's start there. How did that meeting go? What were some of the big talking points in Idaho Falls this week?
Yeah, so the history of this, you probably remember, Jesse. What the U.S. is trying to do is get fresh table stock, what we call table stock potato access to Japan. We already ship processed products, some chipping potatoes, but if we get this access, you're talking about roughly $150 million a year in new U.S. ag exports to Japan. The challenge that we're facing, and we faced it for a number of years, is Japan has a very politically connected domestic industry. They hold a monopoly on their potato market. And as I've come to learn from folks, when you have a monopoly, you do not want to give it up. It is quite valuable. Not great for consumers, but if you're the producers holding a monopoly, generally they cling to those pretty hard. So we're trying to push past all of that that kind of institutional protectionism. The full readout on how this meeting went in Idaho Falls is still to come. We don't know the final outcome, but I'll have to say, from USDA is doing everything they possibly can to break past all of this intransigence. Also, the Idaho governor, Brad Little, was there. We had the state director of agriculture was there along with the Idaho Potato Commission. You had a tremendous focused effort, both from the national and the state level. So we're doing everything we possibly can, Jesse.
Is it a case of, to your point, they just simply don't want to break up that monopoly? Or is it a case of their questioning quality of you know, fresh potato access or things like that? I mean, what is the biggest sticking point here, Cam?
Yeah, typically, I'm dating myself, but I've done fresh fruit and vegetable trade, ag trade for over two decades now. Typically, when you're trying to protect a market, you will allege that there are some type of pest or disease issues that are showstoppers. In rare instances, those are legitimate. 99% of the time, you can mitigate those threats, but they're used as a shield to protect a market from competition. And that's exactly what is going on here in Japan. These folks, small industry, very politically connected, and they do not want to compete against the United States. Granted, we have a different type of potato. I think actually, if we came into their market, it would stimulate demand for potatoes broadly and probably benefit those producers. But they don't want to take that chance. And so they're fighting pretty hard.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that issue there. And I know a lot of support, a lot of engagement, as you mentioned. So we'll see where things kind of shake out as we move forward. And thinking about things, seeing where they shake out, of course, Farm Bill. We're talking about that on Capitol Hill and the budget process with a looming government shutdown and more. And I know you follow things closely there at the Potato Council in D.C. I mean, it just feels like there's more uncertainty here once again on Capitol Hill that we don't have many answers for, Cam.
Uncertainty is a perfect word for it, Jesse. You're absolutely right. Here we are. I'm looking at the calendar. We are 10 days from happy 10 days from Farm Bill expiration date. and it's actually the expiration of the extension, because the 2018 bill expired a year ago. I think what's going on, and there's a lot of balls in the air. This is going to change about every 2 hours, probably for the next 10 days and maybe longer, is I think folks on Capitol Hill are trying to figure out several things. They've got to fund the government because we're running up against a government shutdown here in 10 days as well. And then as a component of that, you see, farm income, the estimates are that it's going to be suffering here well into next year. Are there is there some type of relief that can be provided to producers to deal with that in a on a short-term basis at the same time that you don't take the air out of the balloon to get a farm bill done if post-election, so sometime in November, December, you have what's going to be called a lame duck session of Congress. Can there be a window open that that might allow us to get a farm bill done before we get into 2025? A lot of variables there. I don't want to make any bets, but those are some of the decisions that are bouncing around in people's minds right now as they try to sort out all of these incredibly expensive options.
I'll make this comment. I know it's being floated in some circles. House Ranking Member David Scott of Georgia, I think, has kind of been on the leading end of this about a two-year extension of the Farm Bill from 2018 that we've already extended a year. Some folks have said that that might not be a bad idea to give some certainty. Let, you know, new members of Congress get into things in Capitol Hill, get some education going, et cetera. I know there's a lot of folks in farm country that are maybe not too thrilled with that prospect, though. So to your point, a lot of tough decisions here, not a lot of time to work on things. So it's kind of it's really a guessing game as to where we go in terms of a farm bill, Cam.
Yeah, it is. And at the risk of blurting out what I really think and telling you the truth, Jesse, my overriding worry about this, just having seen this movie before, is folks are saying, all right, let's kick the can down the road on the farm bill and we'll get back to it in a year. We'll get back to it in 2 years. Folks said that exact same thing about the transportation bill 20 years ago. And what it resulted in was a series of short-term extensions where folks couldn't figure out why the airports are falling apart or why your local roads are falling apart. It was because Congress couldn't, the idea of doing the big reauthorization, actually getting to that very difficult discussion, it never happened. And so they just kept doing a bunch of short-term extensions, kicking the can down the road. How awful would it be if we're sitting here having this conversation, Jesse, 10 years from now, and that scenario has kicked in? We are fighting an incredibly competitive global battle with foreign competitors with in 2034 with the tools of 2018. That every American producer is going to be suffering under that scenario. I think we need to do everything we possibly can to get a farm bill in the immediate future. We just have to do it.
No, I couldn't agree with you more there, Cam. Real quick here, we got a little over a minute and a half here. Potato wart on Prince Edward Island in Canada. That's another issue that I wanted to ask you about. What's some of the latest surrounding that issue?
Yeah, short end of the story there. Potato wart, one of the most destructive diseases you can get in potatoes. They have it in this production area in Canada, Prince Edward Island. It cropped up several years ago. The market was shut down for a temporary period of time, the U.S. Prime Minister Trudeau flew down to the Oval Office, met with President Biden on this subject, and the market was reopened effectively with the same protections as existed before. There's limited seed potatoes cannot be shipped to the U.S. right now, but otherwise it's back to business as usual. We have asked, begged, pleaded with USDA to establish some new measures that may protect the United States. It will be a multi-billion dollar disaster if that disease gets into the U.S. The USDA has declined to do that. They believe that the business as usual is satisfactory. We are terrified as an industry that this is a looming disaster that may happen. And Congress obviously is going to get sucked into that with having to deal with disaster relief if the worst happens and we get this horrible disease in the United States.
Hopefully we can keep it out of the U.S. Always appreciate a conversation. Folks can find more at nationalpotatocouncil.org. The executive CEO of the National Potato Council, Cam Quarles. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us on AOA.
Thanks so much, Jesse. Have a good weekend.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Power through the season. Cenex has what you need for premium greases, lubricants, and diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll talk markets with Arlen Suderman from StoneX on the way right after this. If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Listening to
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage
and helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 9 to 23.90, November down 3 to 23.06, December down 16 to 21.73, January down 8 at 20.50. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets mostly higher, $2 or higher cash markets helping to support the markets along with higher boxed beef prices and also positioning ahead of that cattle on feed report. Hog markets, meanwhile, they moved mostly lower in the nearby months. A little bit of profit taking, late week profit taking in the markets after all of the recent gains. October live cattle up 250 to 182.47. October feeder cattle up 12 cents to 243.90. October hogs down 2 cents to 82.22. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans mostly lower on the day as there was really a lack of new bullish fundamental news. Even though the Daily Wire saw China buying 121,000 metric tons of beans, most of this late week harvest pressure. Meanwhile, wheat markets, they moved mostly higher on the day. Some short covering, along with the report from some of the European agriculture organizations of potentially lower wheat production, that helped U.S. prices. December corn down 4 to 401 and 3 quarters. November beans down 1 and a quarter to 1012. December wheat up 3 to 568 and a half.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And we continue here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, let's take a look at what's happening in the markets. It's been a fairly quiet week in the grains. Livestock found a little euphoria after the Fed rate cut on Wednesday, but a lot of euphoria in stocks on Thursday, for instance, after that Fed rate cut. Really, the move by the Fed has been one of the biggest talking points of the week in the broader market space. So we'll rope that into our discussion and more as we talk now with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Arlen, welcome back to AOA. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be back with you, Jesse.
Well, I guess I'll start with that Fed rate cut, that 50 basis point cut from the FOMC on Wednesday. What is your opinion of that rate cut and how it is or could affect the broader grain and livestock sector here as we move forward, Arlen?
Yeah, we see a very strong correlation in how the market manages supply and demand in the commodity sector based on whether they think inflation is going up, trending higher, or trending lower. Right now, the expectation that it is trending lower. And while Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, didn't want to make the mistake of saying mission accomplished, bringing back memories of the speech that President George W. Bush gave back in 2003 on May 1st on the Abraham Lincoln, USS Abraham Lincoln, he more or less did say mission accomplished on inflation. We're going to focus on employment. And so the expectation was that if he doesn't want to see employment deteriorate anymore, inflation is no longer a problem, then let's cut rates as quickly as possible and get them back down to the quote unquote natural level. What is that natural level? No one's in agreement on what that is. People will say anywhere from 2.5% to 3.5%. So I think the consensus is somewhere around 2.9 or 3%. So how quickly do you take rates that low? And basically, the dot plot graphic put out by the members of the Federal Reserve on what their expectations are on rates going forward really show us getting to that level as we're going out in 2025 into 2026. The market is pretty aggressive in pricing it in, making the bulk of the move by next summer. So what are the implications of that? First of all, when the consumer is thinking about buying a car, buying a house, and it's so well telegraphed that interest rates are allegedly going to be much, much lower 9 months to a year from now, why buy now when you can buy cheaper later is kind of the consumer thinking. And so they delay those purchases, which kind of keeps us in a soft economy a bit longer. But eventually, once the consumer says, okay, the rates are down about where we think they're going to go, now I want to buy. And that demand comes surging back. And when it comes surging back, you get inflation. I actually think housing prices will probably show that before that. We've already seen some indications of that. If you look at coming into this meeting, how the market had taken longer-term rates lower, already priced that in. And so we were starting to see an increase in refinancing, which puts more money into people's pockets, and in new mortgages. And we saw it in some of the housing data as well. People starting to say, okay, let's start getting permits and start building that new house I want, because it's going to be cheaper by the time I need, take ownership of it. And we expect to see those housing prices go up. But we also expect to see consumer goods. So I don't expect that to be immediately. I think in the short term, we'll probably continue to see inflation work its way lower. But as we get deeper in the next year, then I expect reinflation to start coming back. And when that happens, bringing it back to grain and oil seeds, history says the funds tend to not be comfortable with their short positions. that they want to own the commodities, and the market tends to manage supply and demand at a higher level than what it would in a commodity deflation mode. So that's what we expect as we get into next year and out of these markets.
Well, in this grain market, Arlen, here as of late this week, we've kind of softened this recent rally that we've had. I feel like we've gotten a lot of these contracts back at or below the 50-day moving averages in many cases, a little harvest pressure here, things like that. You know, some folks had said a few weeks ago around Labor Day, you know, there was some talk of the trade that, oh, maybe the harvest lows are in, but then, you know, maybe not. I mean, you look at this broader grain and oilseed market and the pullback here now in the last several days. Is that concerning to you in any one of these main commodities, Arlen?
Yeah, I think the key is getting through the next few weeks without making new lows. That's the key. That's going to come down to the quickness of the harvest. We do have some rain that's going to be moving across central plains, across central part of the Midwest and into the eastern Midwest here over the next 4 or 5 days, kind of slowing things up a little bit. Beyond that, it looks like rapid drying, rapid harvest progress, and a lot of bushels coming to town when the farmer is undersold. And can we survive that? Right now, the funds aren't showing any necessarily a leaning toward re-adding to their big short positions, but if the momentum really shifts to the downside, the momentum trading algos will put those sell orders on, and the funds will build those short positions again, even as the farmer sells. So that's what we have to weather. From a fundamental standpoint, I think that soybean yields so far that I'm hearing, you know, early yields are always mixed and hard to really read too much into it. I'm hearing some really good, really impressive corn yields to offset some of the problem areas. Soybeans, though, it seemed to be leaning a little bit more the other way. I hear more quote-unquote disappointing yields than I do the impressive ones. And so with the dry finish this season, we may have the size of the crop priced in. We may have priced in a smaller crop, a bigger crop than what we actually have. But the other supporting factor, it's still going to be a big crop. It's still going to keep ending stocks high enough that it doesn't justify rationing demand with higher prices unless we get a weather problem in South America. And it is dry in Brazil right now. Farmers there would like to be planting soybeans, but they can't because there's no moisture in the soil. Record dry in some areas of center west Brazil, their primary productive area. The rains are coming in the south and slowly making their way north, but we really need those monsoon rains to start. And the models have been saying for the past 3 weeks that that'll come starting the first week of October, and they're still consistently saying that. Disagreement on the intensity among the models, but we're still moving in that direction. That'll be later than what the farmers want, but that is in time to still get a good crop. And so as I talk to our people in Brazil, they're not worried about it. And the market has lost its worry about it at this point as well, until or unless we see those forecast models reverse dry again.
We're talking with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Arlen, how about that protein sector? I know we're kind of been getting a little range bound in cattle, it's felt like here to some degree. Another cattle on feed report in front of us Friday after the close. But overall, you know, I've said this a couple of times, I feel like the livestock sector has been closely tied with the macros and the equities markets here. And I think we've seen some of that again this past week. What's your perspective in the protein sector right now?
Yeah, very much so. We saw it this week, especially on Thursday. The cattle market pulling back a little bit. We do have the cattle on feed report coming out this afternoon with generally expectations that we're going to see placement numbers as well as on feed numbers fractionally below their five-year average for this report. Now, that five-year average has been coming down. We do have tighter supplies, but when we look at carcass weights, for steers, we're up 24 pounds versus last year at this time. Heifers up 21 pounds, these record levels. And then when you add on heavier carcass weights and you add in the imports, our beef availability right now is essentially at record levels. We have a lot of beef because of those big carcasses and because of the big imports that we have right now. So the market's trying to balance those out, trying to find that area of balance. And this is at a time of year when we tend to struggle. Still expecting to see steady to higher cash prices, maybe a dollar or two higher, unfold today as we wait for that cattle on feed report coming out. The board is trading below those levels right now, and that's providing a little bit of support, even though we're seeing some early weakness.
Arlen, I'll give you 45 seconds here before we close out. From a risk management standpoint, any thoughts or reminders for producers as we navigate this window right now?
Yeah, I do think we see better opportunities for wheat and corn exports as we get in the last half of the marketing year. Soybean exports are really, well, they picked up, are really still struggling, and I have a lot of concerns there. It's all about defending the equity we've built up into farms over the last few years.
Great thoughts, as always. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. Good to talk with you again, Arlen. Thanks for being with us on Agriculture of America. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us here on AOA, powered by Cenex. Invest in premium diesel. Cenex Premium Diesel provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision it needs to get the job done. Go to your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll take a look at the latest farm income report from Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute with the director of FAPRI, Dr. Pat Westhoff. He'll join us next on AOA.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
Or being a dog person and a cat person.
Who wants a treat? Who's a good boy?
Or like being an extrovert and an introvert.
This is so fun! I can't wait to go home!
At T-Mobile, you don't have to choose. You can get the benefits you want and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how much you can save with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, we'll pay off your locked AT&T phone up to $650, and you'll get a new 5G phone for free.
Pay off via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits with qualifying plan and credit, plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Contact us before canceling to continue bill credits, or they stop and required finance agreement balances due. Bill credits end if you pay off device early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
And joining us now from Koch Agronomic Services, technical agronomist Matt Fryer is with us here today. Matt, let's talk about nitrogen. What's the best way to approach nitrogen application timing?
You know, there's a couple of ways. We talk about, you know, the best agronomic timing, but that doesn't always coincide with the most efficient operational timing. And so you got to weigh the both when you make these decisions. And so that often lends itself to fall application, where growers typically have a little more time. When we talk about fall application, we're applying a bunch of nitrogen in the fall for a spring crop. And if you know anything about nitrogen, it's pretty prone to loss to the environment. And so you really got to have a good nitrification inhibitor like Centuro in there, or even if you're putting out a urea-based fertilizer, you want to have also in there a good urease inhibitor to inhibit volatilization loss to the air.
Matt, what happens to nitrogen between fall and spring?
in the fall, what can happen is, you know, we put out that nitrogen. As soils warm up in the spring, that nitrogen starts to convert from ammonium to nitrate. And that can be dangerous because nitrate is prone to a couple of different loss mechanisms, leaching and then denitrification. That's why a nitrification inhibitor is important, to slow that conversion process down. We can't stop it, but we can slow it down enough to where we have more of that nitrogen that was applied in the fall in the ammonium form, which is not prone to loss and can be available to the crop when the crop's actually growing and able to take it up.
Matt, how do products offered by Koch Agronomic Services measure up?
That's a good question. You know, we really invest a lot every year in third-party university and contract research organizations to do research on our products so that we're well-educated on their mode of action, how they work in a variety of different environmental conditions so that we can bring that research data to the market. Anvil is a great example of the output of our research and development. We bring proven research to the market to make sure our customers and growers are comfortable with the products.
Thanks, Matt. Learn more online at CokeAgronomicServices.com. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help you achieve superior strength and performance in your equipment. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex location for more. Well, the University of Missouri Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, known as FAPRI, has recently released an update to its annual baseline report, finding net farm income has fallen due to lower crop prices. We've been talking about that a lot here on the show and kind of a mixed outlook for U.S. agriculture. Joining us now to talk about it, he is the director at FAPRI. Pat Westhoff is with us here today on AOA. Pat, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, it's been no secret that there's a lot of concern in farm country about the overall U.S. Ag economy. Talk about the update to FAPRI's baseline here. What were some of the key highlights that you guys found?
Well, it's probably not a big surprise that when you got lower commodity prices, you end up with lower farm income, right? And that's especially true on the crop side of the ledger. So the sharp drops we're seeing in prices kind of across the board for grains, oilseeds, cotton, pretty much you name it on the crop side, has sharply reduced the net income to the crop sector. Livestock's a bit different story with higher cattle prices, of course, providing some support there. But for the sector as a whole, we're looking at a sharp drop in farm income from that peak we had in 2022.
Well, thinking about net farm income here, and I know, of course, you know, exports and consumer demand, things like that can really play in here. Anything big on either of those fronts that you guys maybe factored into some of your numbers?
Yeah, on the demand side, you think about things like the strong dollar we've had recently is definitely not helping us in terms of our export situation. We've seen relatively flat demand in many other parts of the sector, both domestically and internationally. But this is largely a supply story. The fact that we had, you know, shorter crops a couple of years ago, bigger crops the last 2 years now, has definitely put downward pressure on prices, not just here, but around the world.
Looking at, thinking about moving ahead here, assuming we have normal growing conditions in the U.S., I know you guys made some crop price projections and some of the numbers, maybe not numbers that producers are going to be in love with compared to where we were, you know, just a year or so ago. What were some of the updates to price averages you guys had?
I mean, if you think about, you know, corn, where we had a price well over $6 a bushel just a couple of years ago, Now we're in that low $4 range, and we're probably going to stay there for the next several years until we have a weather problem someplace or, you know, some big shock to the system. Likewise, in soybeans, a very sharp drop from where we once were. You know, $10 soybeans are kind of now the norm looking forward, we think, given what our current information is about policies, markets, and so on.
I know there's a lot that goes into, obviously, you think about inputs, the cost of farmland, cash rental rates. There's going to be a lot of conversations about rental rates here over the next several months. Anything you guys saw as you were putting together your analysis in terms of some of our input costs and some of our fixed costs on the farm?
I mean, livestock farmers, of course, are benefiting from lower feed costs now compared to what they had, you know, two years ago. And you're seeing a little bit of a drop in fertilizer from what it was at the peak, I guess. But we still have overall, you know, high production costs kind of across the board. You know, labor costs continue to increase. A number of other things have gone up in value as well. Interest costs have been high. Looking forward, we could see, you know, again, with the drop off in interest rates tied to the Fed's action just yesterday, you know, that could help a bit. But there's still going to probably be much higher costs than people have been accustomed to. So, yes, there'll be downward pressure on rents and other things as well.
I saw this note as I was looking through the report here myself yesterday and looking at the consumer's perspective, looking at maybe a slowdown in food inflation is what I gathered from reading the latest baseline report there from FAPRI. Talk about that, Pat. What were some of the things you saw on the consumer side?
Yeah, so again, we saw very rapid increases in consumer-level food prices in 2022 and still in 2023. We are down pretty sharply from that peak in terms of the rate of increase. You know, so now we're just talking about a 2.2% increase in 2024 and a 1.6% increase in 2025. But of course, that still leaves prices well above the levels they were pre-pandemic.
It's a tough situation overall, I would say, Pat, as I kind of sum this all up and we look at price projections and things like that. And it's just, again, no secret that folks are struggling in the ag economy and the broader economy. I guess as you and your team at FAPRI kind of looked at all this, what's the biggest takeaway that you would have that you would share with producers listening in today?
Well, I think one important thing is just to understand how different the situation is now for cattle producers on the one side and for most of the crop sector on the other side. You know, with the higher cattle prices, lower feed costs, it's actually a relatively decent time for most cattle producers right now. But the crop side, again, a very sharp drop from where we were just a couple of years ago. If people thought where we were in 2022 is where we were likely to be, then it's been incredibly difficult thing to get used to what's occurred. And I'd like to be able to tell you that it's going to turn around tomorrow, but we just don't see that as the most likely outcome. So again, you know, trying to find ways to do the best you can to manage your costs, recognizing how difficult that is to do, and making sure we're making good marketing decisions as best we can in a difficult environment.
Absolutely. Well, again, appreciate the insight. Folks can read the full updated baseline report from University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, FAPRI. We'll share a link on our website, agricultureofamerica.com, or you can go showme.missouri.edu and search their website for that latest report. With that, Pat Westhoff, Director of FAPRI, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here today on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thank you much. Enjoy the conversation.
And once again, Pat Westhoff with FAPRI joining us here today on AOA, brought to you by our friends at Senex. Senex Premium Diesel, again, provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision it needs to get the job done. And investing in quality fuel like Senex Premium Diesel can help improve efficiency, maximizing your operations ROI. Visit your nearest Senex location. There's a lot of those great Senex stores across the heartland and more, or you can visit Senex.com for more information. With that, we're out of time here on AOA. Coming up on the next program, we'll talk about the ag equipment and auction market with Casey Seymour from Moving Iron LLC. We'll also talk markets with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart, weather with DTN's John Baranek, and much more. We're out of time on AOA. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments.